Hey everybody, I'm going to take a look at the last conversation at a Sabbath meal that Jesus partook of at the ruler of the Pharisees. We could see this as sort of the final challenge from the Pharisees here in the Gospel of Luke. So we'll pick it up in verse 15 of chapter 14. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Again, remember, this is a scene in which Jesus has been invited to a Sabbath dinner at a Pharisee's house. In the first incident in this scene, Jesus heals on the Sabbath and so offends their sensibilities. He heals a man that it seems as though the Pharisees ignore or don't even bring into consideration. Then there's the parable of a wedding feast where actually the whole scene then is governed by the parable of a wedding feast. First, he says, when you go to a wedding feast, don't push yourself forward to the best positions, but take the lowest position. Then he says, don't invite people that help you climb the social ladder or make you feel better about yourself. Invite those who are below you, outside your circle. And finally, this scene where we get a guy who says, "Oh, well, blessed are those who will eat in the kingdom of God." It seems as though perhaps this is kind of a pious deflection. Maybe the guy's a little uncomfortable with the intensity of Jesus' charges against the Pharisees. And so he tries to take a sort of nice religious tack and say, "Oh yes, won't heaven be great?" And Jesus' response is this last parable where he says, well, there's a man who's had a great wedding feast. He sends out to those he's invited and said it's ready. And one by one, they all excuse themselves. Now notice the excuses are not bad excuses. In other words, they don't say, "Oh, well, I'm going to go, you know, drink it up and party." They're saying, "Oh, well, I've got business to do," right? The first two have to do with work, and those are good things. The second one has to do with marriage. He says, "Listen, I've just gotten married, so I can't make it." Remember, in the Old Testament, there was a provision that a newly married man didn't have to go out to war for the first year so that he could have that time with his wife. But all these good excuses are not worthy excuses when compared to the wedding feast that's been prepared. And again, we should probably imagine this wedding feast as the most spectacularly rich, wealthy, classy person we know inviting us to the wedding feast and turning him down because we have something better to do. That's sort of the preposterousness of people's responses to this. Well, Jesus, you know, up to this point, everyone would have gotten the parable, but then Jesus does the surprise, the turn. And the turn is that those invited don't come. And so Jesus goes not to others like them, but says, "Okay, well, just go find all the nobodies and down and outs and losers in town and invite them." And the servants say, "Well, we have, and we still have room." He says, "Fine. Go out to the borders of the city where there's roads, where there's strangers and people we don't know and invite them in. And let them come." That would have been the shocker, because Jesus is essentially saying those who were invited, the insiders, have said no, so they can't be a part of it. So we're going to go to the outsiders and let them come in. Well, how would this apply to Jesus' hearers? Well, first, it would apply that first group of invited after the first group rejected, made excuses, would have been nobodies in Israel, religious nobodies, moral nobodies, people among the people of God who were thought of as nothing to these pious Pharisees. The second group, the ones in the highways and the hedges, would have been the Gentiles. Well, that would have been sort of doubly offensive. Jesus' whole point here is that the wedding supper of the Lamb and those who go to it, those who are ultimately in it, there will be surprises. And the most surprised will be those who were invited but who said no. Of course, Jesus is speaking to his hearers. He's already made it clear that the Pharisees are rejecting the invitation. And this is Jesus' sort of last appeal to them to stop rejecting this wonderful invitation. But he's also saying, and I'm moving on. And of course, the rest of the part two of the Gospel of Luke is the book of Acts. And there we see the gospel going to precisely those in the highways and the hedges, the Gentiles. So there's this wonderful irony in the whole scene. Jesus was invited to a dinner and he accepted the invitation. Jesus is inviting his host to a dinner and they're rejecting the invitation. And he's trying to get them to not reject the invitation. I think a final thing worth thinking about for us is who are the invited now? Who are the insiders now? Who are the religious establishment now? In the days of the New Testament, it was Gentiles. But in our days, who is it? Remember, Paul says in Romans that Gentiles who have been graciously grafted on, wild olive trees grafted on to the original olive tree, should never get proud and should remain grateful, or they'll be cut off. So I think believers should assume that we're the invited, we're the insiders, and we should be asking ourselves, one, are we responding positively to the invitation to the kingdom? Are we making that our chief end in life? And two, have we given ourselves to the task of inviting the ones that we think are the least likely to come, the outsiders of our own day? And are we considering who that might be? So may we come to the supper of the Lamb. May we, in every meal that we share with others, see in that meal an invitation to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And most of all, may we see in the communion meal that we share as the people of God, the ultimate invitation to that ultimate celebration and ultimate festivity when Christ is married to his perfect and spotless bride. Amen.